Galatians 3, you got it?
All right. My question is simply this: what happened to faith? What happened to faith? Where did we go wrong in faith being enough? Paul writes to the church at Galatia, and understand what's happened. When the Christians were persecuted in Israel, they left Israel. They said, I don't have to put up with this. I can go somewhere else. And they did. They went all over the place, some south, some east, and some north. And they spread all across the world. Remember, this was the time of Christ when the roads were improved, when travel was a lot easier because of the Roman Empire having control. Just like in America, do you need a passport to get to Georgia? No. Miami, maybe, but not Georgia. All right, so you don't need a passport. We travel throughout the country. You get on the road and you drive interstate, and you can go all across the country. And it's not until you get to a border that you're supposed, you know, at Mexico or Canada, that they want to know, why are you coming into our country? And so the Roman Empire was the same way. They could travel a lot more freely. And the language, remember, the language had been developed. The writing system had been developed, and it was modernized so that they were able to communicate in all these places. So what happened? These Christians were persecuted, and not just persecuted, but prosecuted. It's one thing to people to laugh at you and aggravate you. It's another thing for them to throw you in jail and kill you, right? And so they had spread throughout. They had gone in different directions. Some of these came to modern-day Turkey, Galatia. And what happened there? People got saved. That's good, isn't it? People got saved. People got baptized. They came together and they said, hey, let's meet. Let's have church. Let's come together on the first day of the week and study the Word of God together. And let's agree together how we should live. And they had a church. People that were saved and people that were baptized and people that covenanted themselves together. You understand that's what a church is. Covenanting ourselves together for the furthering of the gospel. And that's what a church is. And that was great, wasn't it? And then somebody joined that church and started causing trouble. And you know what they were doing is, they were saying, well, that faith stuff that you've got is good, but it's not enough. Look at what Paul says. Galatians 3, verse 1. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So was it your works, your ceremony, your traditions, was it the carrying out of certain things that caused you to get saved and receive the Holy Ghost? Or was it by faith? And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is the preaching of the gospel, the sharing of the gospel. It doesn't have to be in a church house. It doesn't have to be a church function. You, as a Christian and as a member of this church, those who are, we are tasked with the mission of carrying the gospel beyond these walls. And that's what they were doing. And then somebody came along and said, well, getting saved is good. You know, having faith is good, but you've also got to get baptized. No, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, it's good if you get baptized. I encourage everybody to get saved to get baptized. But being baptized is not going to get you in heaven. Trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's what's going to get you into heaven. And, oh, but you got to tithe to get to heaven. Right? You got to give money to the church. No. I mean, I encourage you to give your offerings, give your tithes. By the way, I don't even talk about it because God's been so good. Y'all are so good with your money and your devotion to God, I don't even talk about it. But that's one of the things. Well, you got to give. You got to give so much money to get to heaven. No, you don't. You could never give anything to the church, never give another dime if you've already given some, and it's not going to keep you out of heaven. Money does not get you to heaven. Well, you got to get circumcised. No, you don't. That's not one of the rules. But see, what happened is these legalistic Jews, got into the church and they said faith is good, but it's not good enough. Well, you got to go to church. You got to be there on Sunday morning. No. I encourage you to be here on Sunday morning. Glad you're here. But it doesn't get you into heaven and it won't keep you out of heaven. So they just started adding rules, legalism. You got to observe the laws. You got to wear certain clothes. Got to dress a certain way. How many of you have grown up around churches or people that went to church like that? Yeah. Well, women, you can't wear pants. And men, you can't wear shorts. And you got to have your hair cut a certain length. And you can't have any facial hair. Don't tell them Jesus had a beard, even though the Bible says that. But they don't want to hear that. Because they got rules. They got man's rules. And they got, and you, boy, if you smoke, oh boy, no, you can't go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Look, I'm not encouraging you to smoke. I believe it's bad for you. I think we've proven it. But it's not going to make a difference if you go to heaven or hell if you smoke cigarettes. Even those funny kind. And I'm not, again, not encouraging it, but I'm telling you. It's not, guys, we place rules on people that God didn't place on people. And God gave this. He said, because you are sinful, because the law, and we're going to get into reading actually what the Bible says, but because the law exposes our sin, we need the grace of Jesus Christ to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And once we put our faith in Christ, that's it. When you pray and say, God, I know I've let you down. I've sinned. I've failed. And I ask you to forgive me. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I give my life to you. He writes your name in the book of life. You got a spot reserved in heaven for eternity. And there's no taking it back. It doesn't, well, you missed two church services. I'm taking your name out. No. Oh, you lied. I mean, look, I don't want you to lie. But the name is in the book and it's not coming out. Amen. I'm not encouraging you to sin. But I'm telling you that being perfect is not a prerequisite to get to heaven. The prerequisite is salvation through Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, forgiveness through Jesus Christ, and that's all the same thing spoken three different ways. The gospel had reached Galatia, souls were saved, churches were established, lives were changed, and then somebody came along and said, what you've got is not enough. Verse 2. He says, did you get it by works or did you get it by faith, by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Look at verse 3. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? He says that's foolish. Verse 6. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What did he do? He believed. Was he baptized? No. Did he do good things? Yes. But it was already... He was already accounted righteous before he did those good things. What made him righteous? Faith. Believing in God. I know that you're going to hear preachers, even in Baptist churches, that are going to tell you that, well, if you don't do this, you must not be saved. It's none of their business. They have no right to judge you as a child of God. And the Bible tells them that when they do, they're the ones that are sinning. Now look, I didn't come in here to give you a license to sin. And I don't want anybody going away saying, well, the preacher said we can do whatever we want. Let me tell you something. Sin has consequences. Every time. Sin has consequences. And so it's not a license to sin. We know there's a consequence. But what I'm telling you is that if you're going to go to heaven, you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you're in. Well, that's too easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It was hard for him,
but he made it easy for us. It's Palm Sunday, right? Next week, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Well, you know what happened between those two Sundays, don't you? They stripped him, they whipped him, they ripped his beard out, they spit on him, they cussed at him, they called him every name they could, they mocked him, they nailed him to a cross and hung a sign above him that was meant to humiliate him. There he hung on that cross naked, bleeding, beaten, skin ripped open, and his mother standing down there seeing that. And he did that so it'd be easy for us. He did the hard part. Now look, knowing what he did to save our souls, knowing what he did to get us the Word of God so that we could know a better way, shouldn't we follow the better way? Yes. But is going to church going to get you to heaven? No. Is getting baptized going to get you to heaven? No. Is giving money going to get you to heaven? No. I think we ought to tell everybody about Jesus because I want them to get to heaven. But telling them about Jesus is not going to help you get to heaven. That's the difference. He says in verse number 7, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Paul takes this all the way back to Abraham. And he says that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's where the covenant was made with God. You remember the animals that he laid out, the sacrifices that he made out, and buzzards were trying to come and steal as he was sacrificing. And the covenant he made with God, you remember on the mountain when he took Isaac up there and he was going to sacrifice Isaac, and the angel of the Lord said, hold on, Abraham. And he said, you got me. I didn't want to do this anyway. God said, because you were willing to give your own son, your firstborn, your only begotten, because you were willing to do that, you have the faith. You've shown the faith. And he said, don't harm the boy. He said, I got a sacrifice. Look yonder. And there was a ram caught in the thicket. It had to be a perfect lamb. It couldn't have cuts on it. And so what happened? The horns were cut. Abraham went over there and got that, brought it back and made a sacrifice of a perfect ram before God. A substitutional sacrifice. A substitute offering. Jesus became that substitution for us. Are we perfected by the flesh? No. Are we children of Abraham by the flesh? No. Are we children of Abraham by the Spirit? By faith? Yes. The promises that God made, what was the Abrahamic promise? He said, I will bless you and I will bless those who bless you. And not only will I bless you, but I will make you to be a blessing to others. Through you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. That promise, that blessing is what Paul's talking about here as he writes to that church. And he says, guys, you are the children of Abraham. The promise God made to Abraham is a promise to you because we're children of Abraham. We're not Jews by birth. At least I don't know if you are. But by faith. And by faith we are the children of Abraham. Verse number 8. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You see that? Verse number 11. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Do I have to live by the law according to the law? Remember what I said, all sin has consequences. But living perfectly by the law of the Word of God is not going to justify you by God. You know why? Because Jesus said if you broke one, you broke the law. You get pulled over for speeding, and the officer walks up there and says, you were speeding. What do you say? But I didn't run the red light. Oh, well, you didn't run the red light. Okay. Then you can speed all you want as long as you don't run the red light. No, he says, you broke the law. But I didn't break all the law. I observe most of the law. I just don't observe that law. Well, then you know that makes you a lawbreaker. You know, they say when you point that way, there's three pointing back. If you broke it at all, you're a lawbreaker. And if you're a lawbreaker, that means that you can't use the law as justification. No one is justified by the law. So then how can I be saved? Only by grace. Only by faith. Only. So you've come in here this morning and you say, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven too. And so you say, well, I want to learn to do right so I can go to heaven. That's not how it works. You pray from your heart to God's heart right now and say, God, I give myself, I ask you to forgive my sins. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. That's what saves you. Then what? Well, then you should get baptized, but it's not going to keep you out of heaven if you don't. Then you should get involved in the church, but it's not going to keep you out of heaven if you don't. You see? Once you're saved, you're saved. You're not perfected by the flesh. You're not justified by the flesh. You're not justified by the law. Only by grace, by faith. Look at verse 13. He says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see, here's what happens. You say, well, I'm going to live by the law. Again, we're talking about the God's law in the Bible. I'm going to live according to the law. And so I keep, remember that young rich man came to him and said, oh, I've kept all the commandments from my youth. And so you say, well, that's what I'm going to do. But you know what you're constantly doing? Checking to make sure you got it right. Because what happens if you don't? Well, if you don't, then you can't be justified. And guess what? That means nobody is justified by the law because none of us could keep it perfect. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Who are the Gentiles? How many of you in here are Gentiles? Unless you're Jewish, that's you. There's Jews and everybody else. That's how the Bible works. In fact, up there earlier, did you notice what he called us earlier? Heathens. And some of you said, hey, I recognize that word. Because you've been called that before. Heathens. But the blessing or the promise of the Spirit comes through the blessing of Abraham. How? Through faith. Through faith. Look at verse number 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. You see, Abraham was the father, right, of the Jews, through which came Jesus, through which came the blessing, through which came the Spirit, but only to those who believe. Only the Jews? No, to anyone who believes, including the Gentiles, which is us, the heathen, which is us. Verse 19. Wherefore then serveth the law? What's the point of the law? Well, we say the point of the law is to protect me from others and others from me, and even to protect me from myself, right? That's the point of law. But what Paul says here is he says it was added because of transgressions. Understand something. 430 years passed between the time that God made a promise to Abraham and the time that God gave the law to Moses. 430 years. And over those 430 years, Paul says, you want to know why the law was written? Because people were misbehaving. People had faith, but they were defeating themselves. Let me just say a couple of things here, on track, kind of off track. Sin defeats you. You say, well, what's wrong with drinking? Well, only that it's bad for you. What's wrong with drinking? Getting drunk, only that it's bad for you and it can destroy your family and your career and your neighbor and it's bad for you. What's wrong with stealing a little bit here and there? Well, you wouldn't like it if somebody stole from you, would you? Stealing's wrong. Cheating's wrong. Lying's wrong. Oh, a little lie here and there won't hurt. Don't lie. God said there's some things people are doing. I need to spell it out for them. How many of you ever worked somewhere
And the administration created some policy because somebody did something. Right? So every policy somewhere has a name attached. Do not leave the steering, the driver's seat while the RV is in motion. All right? Yeah, don't drink and drive. Listen to me. Why did they have to put a label in an RV to tell you not to get up? Because somebody put his RV on cruise control and went in the back to make a sandwich. That's the truth. You say, but Pastor, how could anybody be so dumb? And God gave Moses some laws. And Moses says, but God, why do I have to put honor the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind? You know the Ten Commandments. Honor the Sabbath to keep it holy. You know, honor your father. I mean, why should I have to put honor your father and mother? They gave you life. They brought you up. They provided your needs. Honor thy father and mother. Honor the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, and the seventh you shall rest. Right? And then Jesus says, well, that day of rest is given to us to rest. Right? It's not that God's saying you shouldn't work 7 days. He's saying take a break. That's what he's saying. Use it as a holy day, a day of worship and a day of recovery. Don't commit adultery and don't covet and all of that. And you say, well, why would I have to tell anybody not to commit adultery? I mean, they got married, they love their spouse, and they're devoted to one another. Why should we have to write that? God said, you better write that down. Paul says all of that, all the law was given because people were doing dumb stuff that they should have known better. And that means that if we're doing it, we should know better. But we have the extra measure of it's written down. Right? So you set cruise control, you still got to sit there and steer. You say, but I'm saved. Yeah, but you're still in control of your life. You've still got to navigate your life in a proper way. Or what's going to happen? You're going to crash. That's why we have the law, to reveal our inadequacies. You say, well, I'm not such a bad person. Okay, let's look. Oh, okay, yeah, I messed up on that one. Then you broke the law. You know what that means? It means you're like everybody else. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody in here. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, and God laid on him the iniquity of us all. On him. So we put our faith in Christ. Verse number 21. It says, if there had been a law given which have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. If there was any way that the law could give you salvation, that's how they would have handled it. But he says that's not possible. It's not possible. And so we've got this church in Galatia where people are saved and they're baptized and they're covenanted together and they're trying to live for God. And then somebody comes in and says, well, faith is good, but it's not enough. And Paul says, let me tell you something. Faith is enough. Faith is what we need. Our relationship with God, that's what we need. Our prayer life, that's what we need. We're counting on, we're staying so busy trying to dot the I's and cross the T's that we're missing the whole point of a relationship. The church is called the bride of Christ. How is our intimacy, our conversation with God? Intimacy, into me see. How transparent are we in our prayer life? We ask God for things and we say, well, Lord, this is why I want it. He can see why we want it. There's no tricking him. Verse 22 says, all are under sin. All. If you're in this room this morning and you're not born again, then you are under sin and you are under the curse of the law. Which means you've got to obey every part of it to keep it. And since you can't, it's time to let God have his way and put your faith in Jesus Christ. Pray and ask God's forgiveness and let him save your soul. Verse 23, again, he's talking about that schoolmaster. The law was given to give us boundaries and to show us where we're going wrong. It says,
We need to live by faith. By faith. Faith is enough. In fact, faith is not only all sufficient, it's the only thing we need. Our faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you can pray right now from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I've sinned, but I give myself to you. I accept Christ as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins. From where you are, from your heart to God's heart, you can pray right now and He'll change your life. He'll save your soul. But it's up to you. You're the only one that can decide that. I can't save you. Your parents can't save you. Your good works can't save you. Only faith in Christ. And if you don't have that this morning, right now's the time. From where you are, reach out to God and put your faith in Him. Let's stand. Father, we love you so much and we're thankful for the opportunity to be in your house. And we pray that you will live through us and love through us, that you'll save souls and change lives. God, sometimes we look at our lives and we feel guilty and we judge ourselves and consider ourselves deficient because we're not doing enough or because we don't feel right. But God, reassure us today, those who put our faith in you, that we are saved and we can rest in our salvation. For anyone who's not saved, I pray that right now they'll make a decision and call out to you. Lord, for anyone who is just feeling a little lost this morning, I pray that you would encourage our hearts and draw us to you. In Jesus' name, amen. What's on your heart this morning? Pray from where you are. If you want, I'll pray with you. But please understand, the way to God is faith. In Jesus Christ. There is no other way than faith in Jesus Christ. Put your confidence in Him. It's not works of the law, for by works of the law can no man be justified. Faith in Jesus Christ, according to the Scripture. So you know that you're going to heaven. You've put your faith in Christ and you know that that is the full assurance that you are going to heaven. If you don't have that assurance this morning, it's time. Pray from your heart to God's heart right now. Don't leave with a question. All right. All hearts and minds clear? All right. Be back tonight at 6, Wednesday night at 7. Please, please remember Sister Patsy and Sister Beth and Sister Marge in your prayers each time. And those of you that didn't hear, I don't know if I said it again, but Brother Butch went home Wednesday night, got 3 stents, and so he's home and doing well. And so pray for him. He's still weak and all that would come from that, but pray for him. Any others? And of course, pray for Sister Mary. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Ronnie, would you dismiss us, please?